Greetings in Jesus' name. It is a blessing to be here with you all. And so we want to look at intentional child training. This is a big subject, but it is something that every one of us, we all had parents who have invested time into us. And I like the words of Jesus. He said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God." When we think about child training, someone has said, "Before I was married, I had 6 theories and no children. Now I have 6 children and no theories." The reality, but you feel that way sometimes. That's how it's been for me. The further down the track we were, the more we wondered if we knew what we're doing. So that is a reality. It's just how it is. My dad has said that. He said, "If you want to know how to raise children, ask someone who has none." Because you think you know, and you realize you don't. But we are not left in the dark. We are not left in the dark. But I can't give you a recipe today. I can't give you something and just step by step, you do this, and this is how it will end up. I can't do that. There's so many variables. There's so much. Each mother is different. Their personality is different. Each father is different. And the homes that yous grew up in as who are now parents, those homes are different. And they affected you in a different way. You have a different background. You have so many different things that are variables. And it all affects how our homes are today. But what we do have is that God has given us, as parents, we know He gave us a responsibility to train our children. And He has also given us principles to guide us in it. He has not left us alone. And we also need to have ideals and goals. And as a young person, you need to have ideals and goals. You need to be thinking about these things. You need to picture in your mind what you imagine is a godly home. God wants you to do that. We don't want you to just say it doesn't matter because you won't be right when you get there anyway. No, we want you to have goals. You need to have goals. And this picture here is a picture. I took a picture like this with each one of my boys. And because it's very dear to my heart. Because this picture, I saw a picture like this and a teaching about this, about relationships, about our homes, about passing on the torch of faith when I was maybe 15 years old. And it was before I had children. But that picture was a picture that was burned into my mind. It was shared on a slide from Jerry Hoover, and he showed a picture like that, and I saw in that picture a relationship, and it meant all the world to me, and that's what I hope as a young person today. I hope that as we talk about these things, You can gain a picture in your mind. You can gain vision and goals and ideals for your family. See, we talked already this morning about the problem of being short-sighted. I believe you mentioned that, how we tend to forget about looking beyond, looking far out, and we get caught up right here today. But in child training, it's a long-term vision. And when we're working with our children today, we tend to not think about the fact that we are raising someone who will be a father. We're raising someone who will be a mother. We're raising someone who will be a preacher. We're raising someone who will lead a business. We're raising someone who will change society tomorrow. And it's so easy to get burdened with the burden of today, and we forget about that. We just lose sight of that long-term vision, looking out. What are we aiming for them to be in 10 years and in 20 years? What do we need to shape into this life today so they can be this 20 years from now? And the discouragement is real. I remember, we were in these days. Like, I remember praying with my wife through hard times and trying to keep our vision there, trying to keep a hold of that godly vision. And I told her many times, before long, I said, this boy who you're working with today, I said, before long, he's going to come walking through that door. He'll be 6'2", and the story's all different. But see, it's hard. It's hard to imagine him 6'2", when you're struggling with obedience and teaching him kindness. And there's fights going on, and there's scrapping, and you're teaching them to share. So it takes vision. We want you to have vision. God wants us to have vision. Where no vision is, the people perish. We need to have vision. And child training and in our homes, it's a long-term vision. We need vision. We need God's vision. We need God to give us vision. We need to ask God for vision. We need to ask him to pour his wisdom into us, because the truth is we don't have what it takes. But God does, and he can direct you day in and day out, and he'll get us there. How is it that God gives children to inexperienced parents? Perhaps to show us how small we are and to help us see how much we need his help and wisdom. You know, it would be, if I was God, it'd be pretty risky business giving a child to someone who's never done this before. You know, we look at business and we say we put someone in this position who has experience. You want him to have experience if he's guiding this. And God doesn't do that. He gives you children. But he did give us these principles to guide us. So that's what we want to learn from today. This training of children, this bringing up children, raising children, has been happening from the beginning of time. From the beginning of time. This is nothing new. This is something that has been the very part of God's creation from the beginning of time. In Genesis 1, starting verse 26, Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him, male and female he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. So God said, he created man, and he said to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over it. So children, so raising children has been from the beginning of time. It's God's plan. It was at the center of God's creation was man. And for the human race to continue and to be fruitful and multiplying, to be multiplying, becoming more, spreading, covering the earth. I believe in training children. The second point is, first I need to deal with myself, with my insecurities, with my own self-centeredness, with my weaknesses. I need to be honest about them. And I believe if we can be honest about them, we can then train for the good of the child. Train for what prepares them for a life of serving God. And not about making myself as a parent look right or feel good. Like I said, we all grew up in a home, and those homes were not perfect. And those homes had effect on us. And so we marry and bring into our home, who comes along? Ourself. And with it, our shortcomings. And so we need to be honest about our own weaknesses. And I need to be willing to deal with those things and work on those things, where as God shows me and teaches me, God wants to work holiness into us. And that process will be happening right along with training your children. Remember that your children will be a tool God uses to bring you to see yourself. Allow God to be working the fruit of His Spirit in your heart as you train your children. Our personal relationship with God is so vital. Ask God daily for wisdom and a Christ-like spirit. See, many times, going through life, going through your, and trying to raise your children for God, it will bring you to see your personal needs. It will bring you to see how self-centered you are. It will bring you to see how you need patience from God. And so, we need to be in tune with that we are remembering that while we're training our children, while we're working with them, we're trying to teach them the right way, God will be bringing to us things we need to be working on. And I believe if we're honest about that, it helps our children can see that. And also being humble and ready to ask forgiveness when we do make a mistake, when we do treat them unkindly. You know, that's, let's just be humble and say, I'm sorry for the way I talked to you. Let's be willing to do that. Another thing in our personal lives, how it affects our children, is our marriage relationship. It speaks loudly to our children. I remember what my wife's grandpa, Lloyd, he always said, that the best thing a man can do for his children is to love their mother. And our children, you cannot hide from your children. If you don't have peace in your heart and in your marriage, and you don't have love there, you cannot hide it from your children. You will not hide it. We need the love of God, the peace of God, and the forgiveness of God in our marriages, working in our marriages. And that will show, that our children will be able to see that in our lives. We need to have a godly view, number three. We need to have a godly view of children. The world we live in despises children. They will murder children. They will, talk about children in a negative way and act like they are, like children are a detriment to them. And this is not how God views children. We need to ask God to help us have a godly view of children. You can turn to Psalm 127. Psalm 127 and verse 1. Unless the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards a city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. For so he gives his beloved sleep. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is a man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. When you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy, and it shall be well with you. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house. Your children like olive plants all around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you out of Zion, and may you see the good of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Yes, may you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. And here we can see a godly view of children. It refers to children as olive plants. It refers to children as arrows, as a heritage, as a reward. And you think about an olive plant. An olive tree can produce olives, produces olive oil. All these valuable things. An arrow is such a critical part of hunting with a bow, an arrow. You need a good arrow. It needs to be a straight arrow. It needs to be built well if it's going to effectively do its job. A heritage. A heritage. Something that's passed to down to you. It's valuable. A reward. A reward. People seek diligently for rewards. We all work for a reward, for pay. It's a reward. It's valuable to us. So we need to have a godly view of children. And he says here how the Lord, unless the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain who build it. We need to build our houses, our families need to be built on the Lord. We need God's help. We need God's ways. We need God's principles. And unless the Lord guards a city, the watchman stays awake in vain. We can do our part, but we desperately need the Lord to protect us, to protect our children, to keep us from evil. We need that daily. You think about the arrow and how a hand-built arrow back in the day, I'm sure, took a lot of time. I'm sure there was a lot of carefulness put into forming it, making sure it's balanced, making sure it's straight, making sure, you know, just time put into that, carefully pouring over it, making sure every part is right. But it was with vision again. Vision, with the vision of it doing its job, of it hitting its mark, of it being accurate, of it flying straight. There was vision behind it. And it was done with carefulness. We need a godly view of children. And we had already, when I started with that verse, how Jesus, we see how he valued the children. And it says in Luke 18, then they also brought infants to him that he might touch them. But when the disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them to him and said, let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it. So Jesus here, clearly he valued the children. And he said they were trying to drive them away and say that Jesus doesn't have time for them. And he said, no. He said, don't forbid them, bring them. And we see Jesus here blessing the children. We see him using the child as a lesson for us adults. And he said, unless you become like a little child, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. And I think he was just putting into perspective those values of humility, like we were talking about. A little child is just, they have nothing to prove. They live life. And they enjoy every minute of it. And it's they don't hold grudges. They aren't wasting time feeling bad at people. I mean, they just, somebody upsets them, they, you know, it's a problem, but then they're over it, and they move on. It's easy to move past that, and it's forgiveness, and just, I believe those things, we see all that, you know, trust, how a little child trusts their parents. You know, their parents can do anything in their eyes. And here we see Jesus using that childlike trust and faith for a lesson for us. So we say intentional child training. An intention speaks of a purpose and a goal. Having a purpose, having that vision like we are talking about. We must have a godly vision for our children. But along with that vision, like we spoke about, that long-term vision, not every day will feel like you're making the goal. You're going to feel like a failure some days, and that's normal. You're going to feel like you missed the mark today. But we must continue to hold on to the long-term goal, to keep looking out there and keep picturing in our mind what God wants this child to be. That long-term vision, that long-term goal, we keep looking beyond today, helps us to get back up and to stay on track. And we won't, the fact is we won't make it every day. There's going to be days you're going to feel like you didn't do very well. But it helps us to look beyond, to reach out, that vision that reaches far out, preparing them for a godly life. You know, ask the question, what do they need to live a godly life? What are they going to need to be a godly husband, to be a godly wife? Psalm 144, verse 12, is a beautiful picture of vision for our children. Psalm 144, verse 12. And he says here, that our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters may be as cornerstones polished after the similitude of a palace. That our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, and that our daughters may be as cornerstones polished after the similitude of a palace. And it's a beautiful picture here of our sons growing up to be a strong tree. Think about a stout oak tree. Oak trees, there's some kinds of oak trees that can live, they say, to 1,000 years old. I don't know if I've ever seen one that old. But you see a stout oak tree, and this thing will be there for 100 plus years, and it's just as strong as ever when it's 50 years old or when it's 100 years old. It's just so stout, so strong, so enduring. And it just, the storms can beat it. And it experiences cold and heat and maybe a dry year. Maybe there's a fire that comes through and a tree that just, it just hangs in there. It's just strong and it's steady. And many of us have, possibly from your childhood, remember a tree that was in your yard, a tree that stood there, and it just didn't go away. It was part of your life. It was where you played in this thing. You played around this thing. You sat in the shade of this thing, and it was just there, strong and true, not changing, not being blown over, not being uprooted, but it was strong, and it was there. And that's the picture I get when it says that our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth. and that our daughters may be as cornerstones polished after the similitude of a palace. And I love that cornerstone. Cornerstone, a beautiful cornerstone, a strong cornerstone that is quietly holding the building together. It's a beautiful picture. And today, our wives here, our mothers, are like that cornerstone. And they have a whole lot to do with holding the family together. Cornerstone, strong and beautiful, quietly holding the building together. We need to have the purpose and goal of passing on the torch of faith, not letting the fire of God go out in the altar of our hearts. You know, in the Old Testament, they had to keep the fire burning. It was important to keep the fire burning in the altar. And it's the same for us today, the fire in our hearts, our love for God, our faith in God. We need to pass that on. We need to have purpose and goal to pass on that faith, to pass on that fire of God in our hearts. Pass it on to our children. We want them to grasp that, to realize that God is our only hope, our only help. We need to pass on that torch of faith. We need to have vision to do that. We need to be thinking about how we're passing on our faith, how we're passing on that love for God, how we're passing on the love for God's ways of humility and truth. And see, the work, this work, God's work, God's kingdom work, is bigger than you, and it's bigger than me. God wants us to be a part in it. And in our, with raising our children, we're a piece in this, and we pass it on to them, and they take it and continue on. And we can die and go away, and the work of God continues on. It's beyond us. We're just a little piece in this puzzle. Think about how the Pony Express worked. There was a system put in place to get mail from the East Coast to the West Coast, and they guaranteed it in 10 days to be there. And you have to realize there was not the roads and all the airplanes and all these wonderful fast ways of travel we have today to get it done. This was mountains and rugged trails and robbers along the way. They were going through wilderness. But they kept passing it on to the next person. There was preparations made. There was men prepared. There was horses prepared. They were fed beforehand. They were ready to go. There was preparation. There was thought put into this. There was goals. And he got the bag of mail, and he would ride hard, and he would get it there, and he'd pass it off to the next man, and he was ready to go. And away it went, and the work went on. And he was just a piece in this line. He was just one part of this. And is that how we see for our children? Do we have a goal that reaches far beyond me? Do we have goals for our children, and we want to see them raising godly children? We need to think about this, because we're a part, but our part is important because it affects the next part. So how we have the vision and that we have will affect our children's and our grandchildren's and our great-grandchildren. It goes on. That's why we need to be thinking about this carefully. Because we are affecting those that we are passing on the torch to. Okay, one more. We're going to take one more point here. Point five is train, to train. We have here, we want to intentionally train our children. And to train means to train or train up, to educate, to teach, to form by instruction or practice, to bring up. Proverbs 22, verse 6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. To train. There's so many things that come into this word of shaping and molding and guiding people. To me, an example of a grapevine helps it to be clear in my mind. When you think about a grapevine, we will take time to prune it. We will prune the grapevine. We might go, as it's growing, we might tie it fast to help it to hold it, to give it a tie here, to hold this thing, to send it where we want it to go. Another day you come by and the grapevine grew more and you might just push the branch over, put it on this side of the wire to help it go, to guide it. You want to see it go in the right way. You want it to go along the grape arbor. And so you guide it. You direct it. And it needs to be a continually watching over it and directing it, because it's growing, it's changing. It's not going to stay the same. And a week later, the plant is different. It moved. It's growing. It's changing. And so we need to continue directing, correcting, change its course, to train up, to educate, to teach, to form by instruction or practice, to bring up. By pruning away self, by tying it fast with discipline, by directing it with godly instruction. Another picture could be the clay on the potter's wheel. You start out and it's just a lump of clay. It's just a lump of mud. But you begin to work with it and you begin to shape it and you spin it on the wheel and you continue working and you make sure it's soft and you make sure it's pliable and you shape it up and you bring up the sides. You're bringing it up. You're raising it up. You're training it up. And you bring the clay into a shape, into a vessel that can be very useful. It can do wonderful jobs. But it needs to be brought up. It needs to be trained. As in the beginning, it's just a lump of clay. And it's not of value. It's not of value until it's brought up, until it's made into a useful vessel. And that's how it is when we're born. We're born with a sinful nature. We're born with self-centeredness. We don't need to teach that to our children. It comes right out of them. It's just right there. You don't need to teach it to them. But we need to take that, and we need to train them. We need to correct them, and we bring them up into something beautiful, something useful, useful vessel for the kingdom of God, something that God can use to carry his living water in, to pour it out to other people. So next Sunday we'll continue. God bless you as you raise children for God. It is a great work. And just please don't believe any lies that the devil tells you. Mothers, wives, fathers, that your work isn't important, because it is. It's a great work. It's a great work. It's a very important work. And so continue on and seek God, and that we could raise godly children for Him. God bless you.